Management by Objectives, Chapter 5, People and Procedures, Implementing the Plan. Key verse, Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. 2 Corinthians 8:11. Introduction. In previous lessons, you identified the purpose for your ministry and learned how to make plans. But planning is not enough. Just as faith without works is dead, planning without action accomplishes nothing. In this lesson, you will learn how to implement your plans. To implement a plan means to put it into action. You do this through proper procedures and faithful people. People and procedures. Procedures are the steps you take to implement a plan. Procedures are the methods, projects, or work a leader does to accomplish plans. People are the instruments God uses in the work of the ministry throughout the world. Proper procedures and faithful people are both necessary if a plan is to succeed. Implementing a plan. If you are to successfully implement a plan, you must first have a clear understanding of it. This is why you should write out your plans as discussed in Chapter 4. Remember that the plan should include a statement of exactly what is to be done, a description of how you are going to do it, procedures and action steps, who is going to do it, the people involved, when you are going to do it, starting and completion dates, dates for reviewing progress, and a budget, what it will cost. To implement the plan, there are some basic responsibilities of the leader. These include selecting. During his earthly ministry, Jesus selected disciples to assist him in ministry. Here are some guidelines for selecting people for the work of ministry. Faithful men and women. Select faithful men and women. The faithful are those who have accepted the gospel and whose lives have shown true repentance and change. Choose those who are called to the unique purpose of your specific ministry. If a person does not have a burden for the specific ministry in which you are engaged, they will soon lose their enthusiasm and commitment to help. God has a specific plan for each person. And if they are not ministering where God wants them, they will not be effective. The purpose of the ministry must become their individual purpose. Select those who are full of the Holy Ghost and have a good reputation. Acts 6:8. Those who serve in leadership positions should meet the biblical qualifications for spiritual leaders given in Titus 1:5-9 and 1 Timothy 3:1-13. Spiritual gifts. Select people whose spiritual gifts equip them to fulfill the specific task you are asking them to do. This is how people were selected for tasks in New Testament times. For example, those with the gift of teaching may not be effective as an evangelist. Those with the gift of an evangelist might fail as a pastor. Skills and abilities. In addition to spiritual gifts, people have special skills and abilities God has given them, or they have developed through education and training. Think about the tasks that need to be done and select people whose skills and abilities are suited for that particular work of the ministry. For example, when Moses received the plans for the tabernacle from God, he selected men who had the skills to do the task. See Exodus 35:30-34. Always remember, however, it is easier to take a spiritual man and train him in the skills he needs than to take a worldly man and develop faithfulness. Ministry experience. Evaluate past ministry experience. If a person has served successfully in a similar position, his ministry and anointing in that position have been proven. Strengths and weaknesses. Evaluate a person's spiritual strengths and weaknesses. What strengths make him a likely candidate to fill this position? What weaknesses may create problems, and how will you handle these if they arise? Communicating. Plans must be clearly communicated. The more information people have about a plan, the easier it will be for them to fulfill their responsibilities. The importance of communication is clearly illustrated in the biblical account of the Tower of Babel. Read this story in Genesis 11, 1 through 9. People must know the general plan. They must understand the general plan and how it fits into God's purpose and the unique purpose of the organization. They must know the details of the plan. These include details such as other people involved, budget, time schedules, action steps, and how the plan will be evaluated to determine if it has been accomplished. They must know their specific responsibility in the plan. People must know exactly what they are personally responsible to do, by when, and what funds, equipment, and personnel is available to help them do it. Communication should also motivate people for the work of the ministry. When you motivate people, you communicate challenge and inspiration for getting the job done. You develop proper motives or reasons for doing the work of the ministry. Remember, reliable communication permits progress. Proverbs 13:17. Delegating. After communicating the plan, you must delegate responsibility for the work that needs to be done. Delegation is giving responsibility and authority to others for the work of the ministry. When you delegate, you give another person responsibility for a specific job, the authority to accomplish it, and accountability, an obligation to get the job done correctly. One of the greatest biblical examples of delegation is found in a plan made by Jethro and implemented by Moses. Read about it in Exodus 18, 13 through 27. Moses was very tired from doing all the work himself. Jethro taught him how to delegate responsibility and authority to others to accomplish the work of the ministry. The men to whom Moses delegated responsibility were accountable to him for their work. A leader only should be concerned with major decisions, the most important parts of the plan, and the supervising of those working on it. Delegate to others the details and routine work necessary to accomplish the plan. When you delegate responsibility to someone, you must also give him the authority to do the job. This means you release the control or power he needs and provide the necessary resources. To establish authority and responsibility, it is helpful to write out the specific tasks you are delegating to a person. This is sometimes called a job description or ministry description. See the appendix of the manual for sample ministry descriptions. When you specifically define a person's responsibilities, this makes him accountable. This means he knows what is required of him. He knows you will check to see if he has completed his task and done it correctly. To summarize, delegation involves giving others responsibility to perform the work of the ministry, authority to get the job done, accountability, and obligation to accomplish the task properly. Delegation is important because it frees the leader for more important tasks. See Exodus 18, 13 through 27, and Acts 6, 3 and 4. It gives other people experience and training in ministry. It follows God's pattern for body ministry in the church, with each person using his spiritual gift for the work of the ministry. And it raises up new leaders. Training. Some people to whom you have delegated tasks will already have the necessary skills to accomplish their task. Others will need to be trained. The type of training needed will vary depending on the task to be done and the skills of the person involved. Some people will need more training than others because of their limited education and experience. Some tasks are more difficult than others and require more instruction. Training for the work of the ministry should be a continuous process. You should constantly be developing the knowledge, skills, and spiritual maturity of those working with you in ministry. Organizing. The people you have trained must be organized in order to work together in ministry. Organization is the outward evidence of a shared purpose. Anytime two people agree to work on a common purpose, an organization exists. Organizing is the process of building a team of people to accomplish the work of the ministry. Organizing establishes structure to accomplish a plan. Organizing answers the questions, who is responsible to do what? Without organization, confusion exists. This results in unhappiness, murmuring, and important tasks being ignored. For an example of this, read about the problem in Jerusalem Church in Acts 6, 1 through 7, and how the disciples organized to solve it. Do not pattern your organization after others. Let the organization develop out of need and your individual plan and purpose. Organization in the early church developed this way. It was not the organization that brought the ministry into existence. It was the ministry that brought the organization into existence as it was needed. The story in Acts 6, 1 through 7 illustrates this. God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit have an organization. Each one has specific responsibilities and ministries which are described in the Bible. One of the greatest natural examples of organization is the human body. God used this natural example to illustrate the spiritual organization of the church. The church is called the body of Christ, of which Jesus is the head. Being head of the church is one of the ministry responsibilities of Jesus. When you organize with Jesus as your head, you work together as a body of believers to accomplish spiritual purposes and plans. Sometimes it helps to draw a diagram which explains the organizational structure you establish. Such a picture is called an organizational chart. The For Further Study section of this lesson contains some sample charts. Organizing includes developing a cooperative spirit between those involved in the plan. It includes mobilizing them to accomplish the work of the ministry and establishing good relationships between them. Remember that in any scriptural organization, no one is greater than another person. We are all members of the same body of Christ, working together to accomplish God's purposes. See Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, Ephesians 4, 15 and 16, Colossians 1, 18, and 1 Corinthians 12. Scheduling. When you originally made your plan, you set the dates on which you would begin, review, and complete it. Now you must schedule other details which are part of the plan. For example, in the last chapter, an example was given regarding reaching the Spanish-speaking community in a 5-mile radius around a church by a certain date. Dates were set to begin, review, and complete the project. If you were actually working on this plan, you would now need to schedule specific dates and times for going house to house to share the gospel. Dates must also be set for advertising and conducting the first church service. Establishing such schedules helps you to use your time wisely. You must use time wisely because you have a limited amount of time in which to accomplish the work of the kingdom. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. John 9:4. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. When you use your time wisely, you set priorities. This means you choose to do some things and eliminate others. Successful leaders learn to say no to things that are not in harmony with their purpose and objectives. Evaluate everything you do on the basis of the specific purpose for which God has called you. Make that calling a priority. Do not be diverted by other things, no matter how good or needful they might be. As in the parable of the servants with their talents, God will hold you responsible for the specific ministry he has given you to do. You can get busy doing a lot of good and needful things for God and miss the specific purpose for which he raised you up in ministry. You need a calendar in order to schedule properly. Scheduling should include both weekly and daily planning. Weekly planning. At the beginning of each week, make a weekly plan. Pray about the forthcoming week and ask God to lead you in scheduling specific projects for each day. Answer these questions. What must be done that week? This is a list of the most urgent things that need to be done. These are things that will result in major problems or delays if they are not accomplished that week. What should be done? This is a list of the things that are next in importance. You can work on them once you have completed the urgent duties on the list that must be done. What could be done if you have time? These are items that could be continued over to another week without creating problems. Now review these lists to determine which items you can delegate to others. Delegate these, and this will free you to accomplish the tasks that only you can do. Daily planning. At the beginning of each day, ask God to reveal to you what He wants you to do that day. Review the list of tasks you made for the week. Ask God to show you which ones should be done that day. Write these down and arrange them by priority. Answer the same questions as in weekly planning. What must be done that day? What should be done if you finish these urgent tasks? What could be done if you have time? What can you delegate to others? Be sure to schedule personal time with the Lord for prayer and Bible study each day. This is important because reverence for God adds hours to each day. Proverbs 10:27. In everything you do, put God first, and He will direct you and crown your efforts with success. Proverbs 3:6. Like the Apostle Paul, in planning, always be open to a change by the Holy Spirit. Also, always remember that people are the reason for which ministry exists. Do not neglect people for the sake of a plan or accomplishing a list of tasks you need to do. At the same time, be careful that others do not divert you from your task with many things that will consume your time and energy. Diversion, even to good works, is a tool of the enemy to keep you from accomplishing God's plan. Read Nehemiah 6:10-12. A prophet of God tried to divert Nehemiah from his work by calling a meeting at the house of God. Sounds spiritual, doesn't it? The prophet even tried to convince Nehemiah that it was safer for him in the house of God and that he might be killed if he did not come. But Nehemiah recognized God had not sent this prophet. He did not attend the meeting. God had told him to work on the wall, and that is just what he did. Other time units. You may find it helpful to make schedules for other time blocks. For example, a teacher in a Christian school might need to plan by quarters of the year or by school semesters. It is also wise to make an annual ministry plan. Ask God to help you set goals for the year in harmony with His purpose. Identifying your annual goals will permit you to set specific plans each week of the year. When several people are working together on a plan, each one needs to have a calendar which shows the schedule for details of the plan. This will help each one remember what needs to be done by when. Budgeting. During the planning stage, you made a budget indicating the amount of money you plan to spend. As you implement the plan, use this budget to guide you in spending funds. An easy way to keep track of the money you are spending is to keep a simple financial record which lists the item, the amount of money originally budgeted for it, the actual amount spent, and the funds remaining. You may find you need to readjust the original budget. Some items may cost more than you planned, and others may cost less. Decision making. As any plan is put into action, the leader must make many decisions related to it. The scriptural process for decision making is described in the Harvest Time International Institute courses, Biblical Management Principles, and Knowing God's Voice. Refer to these for help in making good decisions. Reviewing. After you implement a plan, you must review it to see how it is progressing. Meet with those working on the plan to be sure the people are fulfilling their assigned responsibilities, to make sure people have the necessary funds, equipment, and supplies to get their jobs done, to see that the plan is proceeding on schedule, to keep within the budget, to revise the plan when necessary, to coordinate parts of the plan and the work between the people involved, and to solve problems in the plan or problems between people involved in the plan. Evaluating. Evaluating is a process of carefully examining a plan to determine its value in achieving the purpose of ministry. In the next lesson, you will learn how to evaluate plans. New wine and old wineskins. When Jesus began his ministry, he met much opposition. Some people did not accept the new teachings, even though they were based on Old Testament truths. Others did not accept the miracles he performed. When some men were called to discipleship, they refused to follow. Many of the religious leaders were bound by tradition and refused to change. Satan always opposes God's purpose and plans. Whenever you implement a new plan of ministry in harmony with God's purpose, you will face opposition. Jesus gave two examples of this. He said, "No man puts a piece of new cloth on an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it takes from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runs out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved." Matthew 9:16 and 17. By these examples, Jesus indicated it is sometimes impossible for existing traditional religious structures of men to accept new plans and revelations. Jesus found this true in his own ministry, as did the Apostle Paul. You will also find it true. You will experience opposition from both without and within existing religious organizations. When you encounter such opposition, follow the patterns set by Jesus and Paul. They both worked within the existing religious structure as far as possible. They attended synagogue services regularly and ministered as they were permitted. They did not destroy the old religious structures. They let them continue to exist. But they did not let tradition or opposition, even from religious leaders, hinder the new things God was doing. When rejected by the traditional structure, both Jesus and Paul took their ministry outside the synagogue. They raised up new wineskins. These new believers were eager to receive the new revelation and new organizational structures, the first church. They were able to contain the new wine. To put it another way, spiritually speaking, it is possible to raise the dead. And God does do this on occasion, but it is far easier to bring a new child into the world.